The first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. For the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it is Advent 2. There are four of them, Advent Sundays. And this Sunday, we light our second candle. Well, we've got to light the first one first. So the first one was for hope, wasn't it? Do you remember what we talked about last week? That this is about hope. And it highlights the prophets who have had hope. And I don't have a candle to light from, so I need some matches if somebody would like to go and get them. Because we have a slight problem here. Can't light candles without a match. they're just in the vestry cupboard. Thank you, Kevin. So hope, of course. Last week we talked about hope, our hope in Jesus, and how God comes to us and brings hope. This week we talk about peace. Now, peace, of course, is not actually just the absence of conflict, is it? Although we tend to think of it that way. Peace is the absence of conflict. But this week we think about peace in a different way. So let's light the candle for hope. It'll light. And then we're going to light the candle for peace. And get kids to do this, but I've already gone out to do their preparation for next week, so that's okay. The 4 weeks we are preparing for Christmas, but we are actually not just preparing for Christmas, but for Jesus' return. And so our eyes are not just on the babe in the manger, but on the babe who becomes king and whose throne is a cross and whose crown is thorns. We need to keep that in perspective, and that is why the 4 weeks of Advent are important, because they point us to that. So, a Sunday for peace. And on a Sunday for peace, we hear John the Baptist cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, he stands, crying out, We've got all of these people's names who I am not going to repeat. Good on you, Helen. She managed to do that quite well. But what Luke is doing is making sure he anchors this in history. Got to be anchored in history. You have to know it's truth. And that is one of the things Luke does all the time. He anchors it in history. So you can look up history and you can actually find these people. You can find Tiberius. You can find Pontius Pilate. You can find Herod. You can find Philip. You can find Trachonitis. You can find Lysanias. You can actually find them in history and you anchor in a particular time and place. Luke is doing that on purpose because he's writing to Gentile people who have no idea. There's no point in him quoting the prophets without somewhere to anchor the prophets into. Very important. Because he wants these people to see this is true. This is real. This is what you need to know in order to know the truth about Jesus Christ. So he does this all the time. And every now and again in Luke, he'll just anchor it back to some historical fact to hold us in that place. So what does he also anchor to? He anchors to the prophets. And we have a quote here from Isaiah where he says, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked made straight, and all the rough made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So, of course, John is the last Old Testament prophet. There are no more Old Testament prophets. We are now in the New Testament, and it's a different way of working. The Old Testament prophets were called by God and specifically gifted with Holy Spirit for their work. Now the Holy Spirit is available to all those who believe. So it's a different time and place now. John is the last. But between Malachi, who we read before, and John, there's 300 years of silence. For 300 years after Malachi, there were no prophets raised up by God in Israel. And the people got hungry. And the people searched the scriptures. And the people went back and looked at it and said, "What do we need to do? What do we need to do? How do we need to live? What do we need to do to make sure that we are living as God has called us to live?" And they went back and they searched. And as they searched, they also read the scriptures that said Messiah would come, and they put it all together. And they were so expectant by the time that Zechariah, John's dad, got the word from the Lord through Angel Gabriel saying, "Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you have to call him John because he's the one who will prepare the way of the Lord," that Zechariah knew exactly what the angel had just told him. Took him a moment to believe it, which is why he made him be silent for the next 9 months. But it came, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, who was actually standing in the Holy of Holies at the time. He was a priest. What we see in the words from Isaiah and the words from Malachi are the way that God works in his people. For Isaiah, preparing the way of the Lord, those words are a war metaphor. Because what you would do when your army marched out, behind them you dig up the roads, pile up the stones, make a mess of them so that the army that came back, if your army did badly, wouldn't be able to get in so easily. There'd be something in the way. You'd just make a mess. You'd make sure there were detours off the side so the army might get lost. You'd make sure the whole place was a mess. And then when your king came back in victory, with peace in his wake because he had won, then you put away the stones, you lifted up the valleys, you filled in the holes, you blocked off the detours, and you made the path straight. It is a metaphor for the king coming with peace. Because it's one. Prepare the way of the Lord. And where does peace come from? Where does this peace come from? Malachi gives us an idea. He talks about the messenger who comes to prepare the way before the Lord. And the Lord is coming suddenly he'll come to his temple. People won't know when he's going to turn up. He doesn't sit there and say, on the 3rd of September, X week, when I'm going to turn up. He doesn't do that. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready because you don't know what he's going to do. Never know what will happen next with God. Sometimes he does miracles that nobody expected to happen. And sometimes you're waiting for 300 years for a word from the Lord. And in that place of waiting, Malachi tells them they're going to be. He talks to them about who is going to endure the day of God's coming. Who will stand when he appears? Who's going to be ready for this king who comes? Who is going to be ready? Whose heart is going to be prepared? Whose mind is going to be prepared? Whose life is going to be ready when he comes? Because when God comes, are they going to be able to stand, or will they feel the weight of all of the things that they may not have done right? And that's one of the problems, isn't it, when we start to think about God's righteousness. Peace is about the presence of God in our lives, which helps us to know that we have him. But the way to peace, the path to peace, is actually in these next verses. These verses are talking about the refiner's fire. And the refiner's fire, have you ever seen someone with a crucible who's refining silver? When you refine silver, you put it in a crucible, you put it on the fire, and you hold it there. You hold it there, and the silver melts, and then it starts to get hot, and as it gets hot, all of the impurities in the silver at a certain point will let go and they'll rise to the surface. And the person who is refining will hold that silver in that fire for as long as it takes. And at the moment when they can see that the impurities have come to the surface, they will take it straight off, take those impurities away, and they have pure silver. So part of the way that God is working in his people through Malachi is to say to them, now, I'm going to put you in the crucible for a while, and I'm going to hold you there until the right moment. And in that place, sitting in that place, I want you to prepare your hearts and be listening to me, because I want you to come to a place where all of the stuff that doesn't belong with me has been dealt with. And in doing that, then the way is prepared and I can come in peace. I can bring you peace, because I'll take that dross away and you'll be pure. I'll wash it away with the blood. You'll be pure. I will come in and I will forgive and you'll be pure. It's all good. See, this is the problem with this. Sometimes people hear this and they go, oh, you're having a go at me. It's grace, folks. I don't know what to repent of if God hasn't shown me, right? And if I can't repent, I can't receive forgiveness. If I can't receive forgiveness, I don't have a way in. I can't be purified. I actually need the fire to a certain degree, because I actually need that to happen. I need to be pressed into a place where I'm going to see what is getting in the way of me being able to enter into the full peace of God, because the peace of God comes into your heart. That's why it's outside understanding. We can't actually make that happen. God sends his peace. His peace comes on the path that has been cleared. And you know what? Most of the things on the path, they're not big. They're little things. They're the little things in life. And I know them really well. I tell you what, driving, I went up to Lakes Entrance to my friend Colin, who some of you know, became the rector of Lakes Entrance on Thursday night. And I went up to Lakes Entrance, and I'm driving up to Lakes Entrance, and people don't always do what you want them to do on the road, do they? So, you know, sometimes you're just a weeny bit tired and grumpy, and out of your mouth comes things you shouldn't say. They're small things, but they're rocks on the road. Because the stuff that comes out of our mouth is often a rock on the road. And we don't always recognize that, but actually we need to sit back. And this is why it's really important to sit with this. This is a discipline which God is calling his people to sit with it. And then we can say, oh, Jesus, shouldn't have said that, Lord. I am so sorry. We take the rock off the road, the peace of God is there, right? This is how it works. For all of us, there are little things. I've counseled a lot of people in marriage, and do you know, when people get into a trouble in their marriage, usually it is not the big things. Big things go wrong and they pull together. But that man left the toilet seat up 8 times in a row, and I'm ready to kill him. Right, ladies? Or she never puts that away. She doesn't do that when I want her to. Little things. It's not the big things that get in the way. It's the little rocks. Right? And then what happens is, because you have not disciplined yourselves to work on the rocks, they pile up between you, and then you lose sight of one another. And when you lose sight of one another, you decide that you've fallen out of love. No, you haven't. You've just built a pile of resentment between you. And that resentment and that bitterness will pull you apart, not because you don't love one another, but because that has not been pulled down day by day. This is how God wants to work with us. We are in a marriage with him, in a sense. And part of the way that we do that is we pull down our rocks every day with him too. And when we're living in that place, we can actually come to self-reflection, which is part of what Malachi is calling these people to. Because God wants us to be prepared to sit in the fire. That isn't very comfortable. It's not. Because what I really want to do is say, well, if she hadn't said that to me, then I wouldn't have said what I said. Much easier to go, her. Excuse me, look at her. Because we do that, don't we? That's how it works, often. But sitting in the crucible, you can't escape. And if we willingly go there, oh, gee, sometimes we don't want to, but if we willingly go there with one another, with the Lord, what we end up doing is pulling the rocks out of the way. Now, a lot of people here have been praying for revival, I'm sure. All we want is for the Spirit to come in, the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the salvation of God to come. Absolutely. Prayer prepares the ground. We pray, we pray, we pray. The seed of revival is actually repentance. Because if we can deal with the rocks, allow ourselves to sit in that place, we can actually come into a place where God can grow through us. And that's for us, but it's also for people in the world. How are they going to come if they don't know that the peace of God is waiting for them if they would only come? And you see, the thing is, it's grace, because then they know what they need to be free of, so they can be forgiven, so they can come. It's all good. God's not trying to beat us with a big stick. People think this sometimes. Actually, what he's saying is, come, pull the rocks out of the way so you can come in. I want you here. I love you. I want you here. But you've got to go into the ground that I've prepared and sit with me so I can help you to be in a place where I can remove that dross with the blood of Jesus and you can be free. And then you can grow. If you put a seed in the ground and it just sits there, it goes rotten. You've actually got to feed it, you've got to water it, and you've got to make sure that it can grow. And so when we are working in that space, that's part of what the discipline of prayer and obedience and all of those things are. They work together. It's how we work as people of God. If we are not prepared to self-reflect, we can't call somebody else to, because we're not looking at ourselves. I have to look at me before I can look at you. And in fact, it's not my job to have a go at you. It's my job to call you into the peace of God and to tell you you're loved. And to say to you, talk to God, because it's the Holy Spirit who does that. It's not the Holy Spirit convicts us. Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we know in our hearts the things we haven't done. And if we are in a place where we are habitually removing the rocks, and any married couple who does this work well together knows that if you can regularly talk to one another and deal with those little rocks, then they don't build up, do they? And if you actually do this, and this is why they say do a date night, make sure you spend time together, talk to one another, it allows you then to hear one another properly And together you can make sure that pile never grows. It's something which works in relationship with God as well. And it's not heavy, it's actually grace. It's the beauty and the love of God calling us to take the things that have become rocks in our lives. Maybe there's resentments, maybe somebody's said something to you, maybe somebody's done something, and lay it down before the Lord. Because, I mean, you remember Jesus talks about how a seed has to die before it can rise up. And we've got to sort of be prepared to let that thing die with God, give it over, let go. And He will deal with it. And that can be really painful sometimes, because it's much easier to hold on to it and go, I'm upset and I'm allowed to be. And we can be, but you can't stay that way. There will be no peace in that, right? As a famous person once said, anger, holding on to that anger, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. This is God's path of peace, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make sure that our paths are straight, to make sure the valley is lifted and the mountain pulled down. This is the path of God, and it's not a path which is filled with fear, because actually the Lord has already shed the blood of Jesus to wash away anything which is a stone. He will forgive. And it doesn't matter how big that stone is. It could be a dirty, great big rock. It could even be a mountain. And sometimes in our hearts it feels like a mountain. And we feel like there's no way we can come to God. Because if I bring this thing to God, He's just going to say, nah, too big, get out. Now, sometimes we can feel that way. He's never going to say that to you. I don't care who you are, what you've done. I'm going to tell you this now, your past does not disqualify you from your future in Christ, ever. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. Bring it to the Lord. He will absolutely forgive you. That is His, that's why Jesus died on the cross for us. This is why we celebrate Messiah. He did not turn up so that He could just look after the good people. He turned up to look after all of us, because even the good people needed repentance. And many people feel like somehow their life is full of rocks and they'll never get free. But every single one of those can be washed away by the blood of Jesus, because His grace wants you simply to see them and bring them. And then He will forgive you. And then each day we bring the little rocks of our lives, like me swearing at people in traffic. No, I'm not perfect. How about that? And saying to the Lord, bless that person, and I'm so sorry, forgive me. Things like that should not come out of the mouth of a person who is God's person. We should not speak and talk down the people of God, should we? That's not something that should happen. So sometimes we have to come to God and say, I did the wrong thing, but He will forgive. That's the whole point. This is grace. This is why we celebrate. And that's where peace comes from, because when we have cleared the road and we come to the Lord and we invite Him in, He can deal with that. He can deal with all of the stuff. And the stuff cleared means that we have peace, because the King of Peace, who has won the victory, can come in. True peace really is the presence of God within our heart. God's peace, which passes all understanding. John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, and he proclaimed repentance, because he knew that the road needed clearing. And people came, and everyone came. Roman soldiers came who had no idea, but they just wanted peace. And what did he say to them? Keep being a Roman soldier, just don't steal from people, don't threaten people, don't do things which are wrong to them. Come and be baptized. He baptized everybody. All sorts of people turned up. The only people he had to go at were the ones who were not actually sorry for what they'd done and weren't really trying to repent. They were just trying to test him out. Everybody else, he just said, come. Soldiers came. All sorts of people came to him. And he baptized whoever came. And then Jesus came to him. And next week we'll look at that when Jesus came, of course. He still baptized Jesus because Jesus identifies with us in this process. Not because he had sinned in any way, shape or form, but because Jesus has walked our entire path with us. He knows what it is to do what God has called us to do. He does that on purpose. He did it on purpose. It's what God calls us to be and do. So as we look now into Advent and we think about the coming of the Lord, this is where we can, each one of us, live in this place of peace, working with one another. And as the people of God, to work with one another to make sure that we are living also without rocks between us. And if there's something in your life which is a stone between you and another person in this people of God, please think about going and talking to that person about it and trying to talk through that stone so that we can actually repair the way of the Lord here too, because he wants to come in power, in great glory, and he will. And as we work always to walk in this, it actually means that we get out of the way of the Holy Spirit, basically. We make the path straight. So do think about that. It is something we need to keep doing because we're human beings and we will have moments when we open our mouth and shove our foot down our throat. It will happen. But if we can work on that, then we don't end up with the valleys still low and the mountains still high. We can actually make the way clear for the Lord to come, but also for others to come in too, because we're a safe place to be. Because if you stuff up, you'll still be forgiven in this place, and so you should be. And that's important, isn't it? We cannot have peace if we don't feel safe. And that's why people think the peace is the absence of conflict. The true peace is the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have prepared us for you. Thank you for the 300 years that Israel prepared for you to send your son. Teaches us so much about sitting with you and allowing you to do what needs doing in our lives. Help us, Lord, to hear your Holy Spirit helping us to see if there is something there. Lord, thank you that there doesn't have to be. Thank you that we're not sitting here always in constant guilt because your blood sets us free and you don't want us to carry that. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus who has come and brought us the peace which passes understanding. Help us to be people who prepare the way all the time in our lives and with you, that you might come in and grow what is beautiful here in this place and in our lives as well, every day of the week. Lord, that the garden may be full and that the fruit may be plentiful. In Jesus' name, Amen.